You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Bigger Picture with me, Angeline Chong. People love to talk about love. For some, love is beautiful, but there are others who loathe the topic of love. Before one experiences romantic love, or eros, one usually goes through a dating process. Now, this process includes elements of courtship and discovery for two parties before they decide to go steady. Dating isn't exactly rocket science on paper, but in reality, chemistry and people dynamics are often a little bit more complex. So, here to educate us about dating and perhaps give us some who are clueless effective dating tips. And he is date coach Andrew Chow. Good afternoon, Andrew, and how are you doing today?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm very good, and I'm Andrew Chow from Singapore. I come from a dating agency called Table 46.
Okay, fantastic. Now let's get started. Well, falling in love, Andrew, and getting married and companionship is quite important to many people. You've met many people from different places, different countries, and right now enlighten us on the differences in dating mindsets, especially from Malaysia and Singapore.
Okay, let me start with Singapore. I think being a very competitive country, our singles are always setting very high expectations, sometimes maybe overly high expectations on the kind of life partner that they want to search for. I think sometimes they are a bit unrealistic. Maybe, I'm just guessing, the person they are looking for actually doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. Why?
Okay. And actually, a lot of times, if I may say this very crudely, is that I don't think they're looking for a life partner. The kind of criteria that they're setting is as if they're looking for a business partner.
And what, someone who is perfect, actually? Is that what you're saying?
Actually, there's no perfect one out there. I think we all know that. But, you know, every man and woman dream that they'll be the lucky one who will find the Mr. Right, Mr. Perfect, Miss Perfect. I think the more important thing is not to find the right one. Mm-hmm. It's being the right one when the suitable one comes along.
But, you know, Andrew, I think that applies across the board to everyone in the world. But how about specifically Malaysia and Singapore, about the differences in the ways that women and men would approach dating or relationships?
Okay, I think Malaysians generally are very shy compared to Singaporeans. But I must say a word of encouragement to all the local men out there in Malaysia, that you have very good rating by our Singaporean ladies. You know why?
In what sense?
Because when I ask my Singaporean ladies, what do you think of Malaysian men? Oh, they are much more gentle and understanding compared to our local men. Mm-hmm. You know, Singaporean men, we are famous for not being very generous.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that is a sad fact. You know, I must apologize on behalf of all the local men in Singapore.
Okay.
But I guess, in terms of being proactive, I think our local ladies are very proactive compared to your ladies. So, but it's good because being smart in being passive, I think you get the right man. Most men likes to have a woman that they seemingly have some control or dominance over. So they don't like a woman who talks a lot, maybe sometimes too much. It comes across as very intimidating.
But of course, I'm sure that's also very individual as well. Mm-hmm. But let's delve deeper into that later, Andrew. But right now, let's look at some indications of a person who is ready to date. Now, what would you say about a person's own self and own makeup in terms of characteristics and also perhaps the baggage that they carry, whether they are ready to date or not?
Okay, this is a very loaded question and it's a very good question. I think the question here shouldn't be whether a person is ready to date or not. I think the more important question is whether this person is ready to settle down. Because when you are ready to settle down, you are very ready to date. You know, it's shocking to know these days that actually people date for a variety of reasons. And getting married is just one of them. You know, there are people who just want to get married because they just want to have someone regularly spending weekends together. Maybe they are finding activities partner. And they conveniently treat it as a date. The problem with today's world is that different people have different definition of dating. So, to you, holding hands may be a stage of going into a steady state. You may be exclusive dating. But to the man, holding hands may be his way of life. Alright, so he's just not telling you. It depends on what circle you are in. Different people have different definition of dating. So better make sure that you date someone who has the same definition as you. And it's always right to state your intention on the very first date.
And how does one start looking for a date?
I think the mainstream would be you find your sweetheart when you're in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe in campus. After 2-3 years, you settle down after graduation. Now, because your emotions are so pure, you have no comparison and you have no past wounds.
Mm-hmm.
All right, your mind is clear. You're not much temptation anyway.
Yes.
So, this is easy. Life is very simple. The problem when you graduate as a single, the first 10 years of your life, if you're ambitious, you work like hell, you probably get 2 masters. You're very, very qualified. You're doing very well. You're very well traveled, well read, highly respected. It becomes very difficult to find a match. The word match gets very loaded as you get older.
I understand, because I recall someone telling me that his or her parent actually said that, well, if you study too much, especially if you are a woman, it's very difficult to find a partner. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
I find that people usually get married to people who are very opposite of them. So even if you are very intellectual, you do not want to just hook up with someone who is equally intellectual. You're not having a lifetime debate. You're having a lifetime companionship. It shouldn't have any criteria. It should be concentrating on chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're younger, your list is very long, you know, because you have not met someone that you can find chemistry with. So you comfort yourself by telling yourself, look, let's go on a list of criteria. At least if there's no chemistry, I'll be happy with a lot of criteria being met. But I can tell you, the minute you find someone who you have chemistry with, you can throw your list out of the window, because you discover that a lot of your criteria are negotiable.
Ah, that's a thought. Now, Andrew, since we're on that topic of expectations, I'm sure everyone has a set of expectations, whether it's a long list or perhaps a short list for someone they'd like to date. And I'm sure for those who are single, they often hear things like people telling them, oh, you've got too high expectations. So what are your thoughts on balancing expectations? I'm sure you can't throw all of them out the window.
Yes, I think having expectation is good. You have to set up an objective of what you want in life. But before you set up an objective, you need to know who is the real you. What do you really want? What are you really good at? What can you bring to the table in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, I'd like to share a little bit about the background of my agency. Why I call it Table for Six.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe when a man meets a woman, 6 persons are involved.
6 people are involved.
Yes, 6 people are involved. Now, let's start. There are 3 men and 3 women. First man, the man that I am, okay, the real Andrew Chow per se. The second man is how I perceive myself. That's my second man.
Mm-hmm.
My third man is how you perceive me. So my question to you is, on a date, which one show up? Knowing who you are, what you can bring, you know, to the table, and understanding how to appreciate a person in totality, balancing all the plus and minuses, will set your expectation right.
So you're saying that simulation actually helps.
Yes.
So that's one of the best places, perhaps, to or scenarios to
meet
candidates.
To start internally, you know, we are not talking about physical places. We are encouraging people to find your internal space, to know your balance,
mm-hmm.
and once you know what you're looking for, it doesn't matter where you will meet him. Sometimes you just know that this is the one.
The person with the X factor.
I have personally put together Beauty and the Beast.
Fantastic. Now, we'll explore more on that
all
later.
Right. Okay.
But right now, Andrew, let's come back to dating, cyber dating or internet dating. What are your thoughts on internet dating, and especially with the development of text messages? Now, how would you say that comes into dating as well? Do you think that's a very strong foundation or a valid foundation for people to go further in dating?
Okay, I think online dating will always be there, and they will survive because it appeals to a lot of busy people. You know, you will travel a lot, you know. How are you going to find someone at 12 midnight when you are still wide awake and then you want to talk to someone? I think online dating provide the mystery. The element of mystery, as long as the element of mystery is there, it's going to be fun. Now, you'd be surprised, online dating is still thriving like crazy, even though with the emergence of social media and so on, because I don't really know you.
Mm.
We have no common friends. So that is the element of it. But the problem is this, people are very different, online and offline.
Exactly.
So a person who writes blogs, who have a lot of social media presence, when you meet him in person, he hardly utter more than one sentence. You know, someone who didn't leave a lot of footprints everywhere, but he talked like crazy when you meet him. It's like having a verbal diarrhea. So you must understand, people are very different online, and it is for people who try to be something that is not of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the mystery immediately stops after you meet up, you know, personally. And if the communication has to be confined to just text, SMS, I think that is very bad. You know why? The more we do that, we become very poor communicator. During my time, 15, 20 years ago, we don't have handphone. Mm-hmm. Very few of us has pager. No MSN, no SMS, no MMS, no BlackBerry,
yes.
No nothing.
Very basic.
We get each other's number, the home phone number. And we call up, first person we speak to is our father-in-law.
Yes.
All right, so can I speak to so-and-so, please? Yeah, do you know what time is it? No, young man, it's very late already. When we don't have that channel, we appreciate every chance of communicating. Now, you can flirt with someone through SMS.
Mm.
You can ask for a date. You can ask for a break off. And I like to say a word to all the ladies out there. If you get an SMS at 5 p.m., at the end of the day, asking for a date at 7 p.m., even though you are free at night, just tell him no.
Okay, we'll find out why. Now let's leave a cliffhanger there. So in case you've just joined us, I'm speaking to date coach Andrew Chow, who is currently educating us on dating. And when we come back, we'll find out more about dating, especially if you are shy, here on The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Bigger Picture with me, Angeline Chong. Now, in case you've just joined us, I'm speaking to date coach Andrew Chow, who's here currently educating us on dating. Now, Andrew, let's continue. Speaking of shy people, before the break, those who are painfully shy, talking to someone of the opposite sex can be such a painstaking task. Now, what are some conversation starters that you might give us a tip or two on?
Okay, before I go on to giving tips, I like to just share another word of encouragement. In fact, a lot of people in this world are shy. When you meet someone for the first time, everybody is shy. You know, the problem is that everyone thinks that they are the only one who are shy. Actually, it's not true. Everybody is shy. So you are just as good or just as bad as the one facing you. As long as someone break the ice, the rest is easy. If you're really shy, I guess one of the more practical way would be, before you prepare yourself for a date, please have a list of conversation topics in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So just in case your mind frees out and you're nervous, you forgot what to say and so on, always refer back to that list.
So what kind of conversation topics are you referring to?
You know, anything that is neutral, you know, can be current affair, it can be, you know, lifestyle, you know, it can be your bosses, you know, every one of us love to talk about our bosses,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, you know, it can be, it must be anything that another person can identify with. But of course, don't talk about your past relationship on the first date. That would be very, very bad.
Of course.
You know, you may enjoy very much, but you know, you'll be disastrous after that.
Yes.
You know, and learn to ask open-ended questions. Learn to ask questions based on each other's answer.
Mm.
You don't have to think about the next question to ask, because one answer provides a content for another question.
Mm-hmm.
So ask where, you know, always remember the five wife and one husband. What, where, when, you know,
who,
and who, you know, and how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people are very, very keen. If you ask questions about them, they feel so good about themselves. Before long, they already very, very relaxed and they're telling you a lot of things. The art of conversation is to make people talk about themselves without being too aware that they are doing it. You know, always seek to understand rather than to communicate what you want to say. And once you do that, it's easy. The problem with a lot of people, especially guys, is they talk too much about themselves.
Is it a sign of being nervous, actually?
Yeah, you know, they forget to break. You know, they forget that, oops, you know, another person is involved. You know, it's not a monologue. I have seen countless situations of my past events. The guys talk just non-stop. And the worst thing is he doesn't know how to read body language. The lady is looking at the watch, is looking at another guy across the table, but he still just wouldn't stop. Give your partner the attention, and the rest will be simple.
Okay, fantastic advice. Now, moving on to appearance, Andrew. When meeting someone for the first time, should someone go all out to dress to impress? Because I'm sure some people are not really comfortable dressing up. Some people say, well, I don't really like to wear makeup. I don't really like to wear high heels. But would that person lose out, in your opinion, in any way?
I would like to answer that by another question. How would you dress for your first interview in your job? Would you want to dress nicely, put on your best? Actually, I just want to say, there's no such thing as overdress, but there is such thing as underdress. Dressing well, and even overdressing, for want of a better word, it's a sign of respect to your partner. No one will fault you for wearing a coat where actually the dress code is smart casual. This is a way of personal branding. You're communicating how important you are. I think this meeting or this day is very important, so I dress well. So you dress just as a sign of respect. Of course, there will be a lot of people who prefer to be casual. This is how you reveal that you are actually a casual person when you are dressing well. You can have this as an icebreaker. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, I just want to be very, very honest to you. I usually don't dress like this. But just for you, I'll try. You think it's okay? Shall I do it again? Or do you want to be equally casual as me the next day? You know, once you say that, you will get a very, very nice answer. Oh yeah, actually, I don't dress like that as well. Once you get to know each other, dressing casual is okay. But first two dates, please be a bit more mindful, because it adds a lot of weight. We don't have x-ray eyes. I don't know you. Mm-hmm. I judge everything by visual.
Okay.
And even women today are very visual.
That's very valid, Andrew. But how about addressing the fact that one could be intimidated by the other person for the first time around? Because, for example, you mentioned there's no such thing as underdressing or overdressing, right? Just to look your best. But let's say if your date turned up in a casual sundress and you turned up in a coat. Now, wouldn't she be a little bit intimidated for some, especially if that person is shy?
Let's make this a rule of thumb. If you are the one seemingly overdressing, it's your job to make the other party more comfortable by breaking the ice. Say something like, oh, I think I'm overdressing. I'm so sorry. And even though it's not your fault, it's somebody else's fault, you must make the person comfortable. You are showing that, hey, it's okay, you know, we all messed up, you know. You know, this time I help you, but please be careful next time. There are 1,001 ways to communicate something they want to say. So it depends on personality. Do not judge a person.
Mm-hmm.
Do not drop more than obvious hints that, hey, you know, spend a lot of time dressing up. Why are you dressing like this? But of course, I think every one of us should take upon themselves that, you know, to dress for the occasion.
Okay. Now let's move on to warning signs. You actually hinted upon a few warning signs along our interview somehow. Mm-hmm. And for example, don't be too condescending.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what are the other warning signs that indicate one should not continue dating the other party?
There are actually three different stages of dating. I think people need to understand what stage are they in order to read the danger sign. The first stage are actually casual dating. You are meeting a few guys, not only this guy, and he is meeting a few other ladies, not only you. That's casual dating. Casual dating is just spending quality time with each other. The next stage is exclusive dating. That means at least one party is seeing the other party exclusively. But this person has to let the other party know, hey, look, I'm only seeing you. So it's sending you a signal that you have to either reciprocate or let's stop here if you're not comfortable. So what are the danger signs? I feel that if a guy don't call you for more than 48 hours or don't text you more than 48 hours, it's very obvious sign. He's not into you already. Ladies, you want to know whether the guy is really keen. If he's really keen, he'll pursue you all the way. While on the way back on the first day, he is already texting you. So, you know, if he don't call you, he don't text you, even 24 hours, you can just forget it because he's not interested. So don't waste time. Let's make smarter decisions. The older you get, you don't have 3-4 months to spend on every guy, you know. If you are 22 years old, it's fine. I can spend 2 years with you, you know. When you're 32, let's be realistic. Time is on your side. I like to say this cruel thing, but I think I need to say it. When you're in your 20s, you are in demand. When you're in your 30s, you join the supply curve.
Okay, that's reality for you.
Yeah.
Now, one more reality bite, perhaps, on honesty. Now, Andrew, how honest should one be when dating? Okay, what are the no-no topics? And how should one handle oneself if he or she chooses not to disclose certain information. For example, how many exes have you had?
Actually, these are topics that we traditionally coach people never to bring out on the first date, because and even if you're very open-minded, you shouldn't be asking, because talking about past dates will create a comparison, you know, and you do not really want that to be happening at the very onset of your dating journey, because you may uncover a lot of unhealed wounds that will have undue influence on your relationship. So talking about exes, don't even ask. But if you do ask, then you got to be prepared to answer the same question again. If there's no such thing as you can ask but you will answer. So never ask a question you cannot afford to answer. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is, of course, no matter how open-minded we are, don't talk about taboo topic like, you know, what's your favorite position, blah, 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 and so on. Okay. This definitely no, not even in Singapore. You know, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just give a signal what type of person you are.
Yes, and what you're after.
Yeah,
actually.
You know, and you know, that is the third man showing up, your perspective on me. I may be just being open-minded, but not promiscuous. But I give you the impression that I'm looking for sex. So be very careful which men show up.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And of course, you know, in Singapore, we have a lot of too practical men, you know. They ask innocent questions, but they're actually very rude questions.
Oh, they're too straightforward.
Yes. You know, in Singapore, we have this CPF where it is a compulsory saving, mm-hmm. you know, account for us. You know, there are some men who will be asking questions. How much do you have in your CPF?
Are you serious?
Yeah. You know, do you think we have enough to buy, you know, a bungalow, you know, if we get together? You know, these are topics that is very personal. People do not, they don't care how rich you are. They just don't want to talk about it. So be very careful. Always go on the safe side.
Okay.
Always be safe on the first day. Put on your best. You know, not only dress your best, talk your best.
And you know? Go slow.
Go slow. Really, really slow. You know what's the problem with a lot of men these days is that, you know, the first few days they spray all the bullets, and then when it comes to the fourth or fifth date, they run out of creative ideas to make the date interesting. But women wants it incrementally. So you can be very, very creative on the first date, second date, and then they will expect more or similar standard for the rest of the dates. Now, if you fire all your bullets in the first few dates, you can't be creative anymore. You're on a downhill and she's expecting more. You could have a cross purpose here. You know, and that is why after a while, you just find that something is wrong. And then before you even want to work on a problem, you want to cut it off. Let's not see each other so often. So we miss out a lot of golden opportunities just because we don't manage our expectation. We don't spread out our content for mm-hmm. a date. We don't want to spend 12 hours on the first date talking about your whole life. In fact, first date shouldn't be very long.
Right, so spread it out tactically.
Yeah, tactically. You know, food tastes better if you eat incrementally. Mm-hmm. And the more meals, less portion.
And savor it.
Yes.
So now, Andrew, well, we could go on and on about dating because it's such an interesting topic.
Yes,
so, well, Andrew, before we wind up, in summary, what kind of advice do you have for single, hopeful men and women out there who are looking to date?
I think, at the end of the day, I hate to say that dating is a numbers game for people who are more mature, because your pie gets smaller, your opportunities get smaller. So try to look out for events that has a critical mass of at least 100 to 200 people. You know, there are a lot of movie dates, there are a lot of big speed dating, there are a lot of travel program that, you know, that you can join. You know, you can participate, you know, on the upcoming cruises. Now, please do not have the mindset that it is a matchmaking session. It is not a matchmaking session. If we put it in one tagline, we only provide the introduction, the rest is up to you. But we enrich the program to empower you with some skills to survive the urban jungle, to profile each other. As you're older, you're smarter in profiling. You know what type of guys you want. You know what type of woman you want. We're going to make it very casual, and we will weave in interaction and facilitation even in our program itself.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the cruise, over 5 days, 4 nights, you get to meet everyone in different setting with different topics, with facilitation done very, very discreetly.
Okay.
So we will not share too much about the program, but we promise that it's going to be very insightful and exciting for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So stay hopeful. That's what you're saying.
That's right. Be positive.
And explore.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Andrew. And I'm sure many of you out there have benefited on your dating tips result of speaking to Andrew. And of course, remember to have fun. I think that's the most important thing. And date. Don't be afraid to dive in with your eyes open, of course. Well, you never know till you try. This is Angeline Chong for The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, and I have been speaking to date coach Andrew Chow, leaving you now with, on a high note, with this number from Nat King Cole, Love, L-O-V-E, Love.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.